Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel. To restore the nation of Israel to faith and obedience of Abraham, after their long bondage in Egypt, God gave them the Law of Moses. In the Law, Israel would see God's standard for their conduct and would discover their sinfulness and need of a substitute. In today's broadcast, A.J. Overton, our Message to Israel voice for the current series entitled The Indestructible Jew, shows how, through the Law, the Lord sought to arouse the faith of His people and to draw them to Himself. And now, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings, friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. The covenant God made with Abraham and confirmed to Isaac and to Jacob is the foundation of the measure of all God's dealings with Israel. The messages given by Israel's prophets, in essence, simply formed further and more specific revelations concerning this covenant. In faithfulness to this solemn promise, God has preserved the Jews as a nation to this very day. Many scriptures record God's dealings with Israel on the basis of His covenant. The second book of Moses, Exodus, reminds us that God delivered the nation Israel from Egypt in remembrance of His covenant. And the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God moved in pure, unmerited favor in making His covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the far-reaching purpose of His grace, His election of Israel was for the purpose of blessing. God clearly stated to Abraham, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God's grace was displayed in choosing Abraham as the progenitor of the nation Israel. God singularly manifested His grace in His choice that the Redeemer of all mankind would enter the world through the Jewish nation. Zacharias, father of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Christ, rejoiced in God's remembrance of His promise. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers and to remember His holy covenant. In fulfillment of this very covenant, God sent Messiah to die as the substitute for sinful men. The Apostle Peter declared to his fellow Jews, "Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up His Son Jesus, sent Him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." On the very ground of this covenant, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will welcome repentant Israel at His second coming into His earthly kingdom and will make them the head of the nations. God said in the third book of Moses, Leviticus, "If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, and I will remember the land." In the person of Abraham, the great ancestor of the nation Israel, the Lord set before them the example of faith and obedience that would receive the fulfillment of this covenant. Israel's only acceptable response was faith and obedience. Although the majority of the nation failed in this response, God carried forward His promise to fulfill His covenant through a remnant of believing Israelites. Through these believing ones, God brought Messiah Yeshua into the world. Through believing Jews, the Messiah, God's Son, will have his elect nation once again restored to him in faith and righteousness in his kingdom. Even today, those Jews who believe and obey him, God describes as the remnant according to the election of grace. Referring to Abraham's faith, Yeshua stated, "If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Now, faith and obedience appear to be very simple requirements for God to lay upon man. They are, however, the most exacting and the most searching requirements, and they please God most. God declared his threefold purpose to Abraham in choosing the Jews to be his own nation above all others. First, he promised to make them a great nation. Second, he promised to give them a land. And third, he promised to bless all the families of the earth through them. This supreme objective to bless would arise through Israel in the manifestation of the world's Redeemer. Until his arrival, the history of Israel was to be a preparation for his coming. The first era of Israel's history could be called the Jews and Abraham. The second era may well be termed the Jews and Moses. It was no accident that the famine in Canaan and the exaltation of Joseph in Egypt resulted in Jacob and his family leaving Canaan and settling in Egypt. For God had declared to Abram many years before, "Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a sojourner in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." The second book of Moses, Exodus, records their experience. "And Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. And the children of Israel were fruitful and multiplied, and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. A new king and dynasty arose, and the Israelites were reduced to slavery." The Tanakh continues, "And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and in brick and in all manner of service." There in Egypt, God in his providence forged the Jews into a numerous nation. Few, however, actually followed Abraham's pattern of faith and obedience. Many had nearly forgotten the God who had chosen Israel for his own possession. God prepared and called Moses to lead his people from Egypt and to the Promised Land. And through Moses, God gave his people his holy law. Thus God took his people out of their idolatrous surroundings in Egypt in order to plant them in their own land and to teach them concerning himself from his law. After leaving Egypt, Israel came to encamp at the foot of Mount Sinai. Their leader Moses ascended to the mount to meet God and to receive his law for the nation. The name of Moses became synonymous with the law itself. The fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, instructed Israel, "Then shalt thou say to your son, We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us from Egypt with a mighty hand, and he brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land which he had sworn to our fathers. So the Lord commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always and for our survival. And it will be righteousness for us if we are careful to observe all this commandment before the Lord our God, just as he commanded us." But they were unable to keep the law. The Lord gave them the law so that they would see his standard for their conduct. In this law, they would discover their own sinfulness. They would see their need of the Savior. The famous Jewish rabbi and scholar who became Paul the Apostle explained the purpose of the law. "Through the law cometh the knowledge of sin." And again he declared, "Through the commandment, sin might become exceeding sinful." God's holy law made plain the utter sinfulness of sin. Though Abraham walked in faith and obedience, the great majority in Israel failed to follow his noble example. God saw their needed instruction as to the way of righteousness and gave them his law. The law consisted of moral, social, and ceremonial precepts. It is written, however, in the fifth book of Moses, Deuteronomy, that the man is cursed who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law. Israel survived under the law because in mercy and grace, God instituted the blood sacrifices for a sinful people. As the offerer placed his hand upon the head of the innocent animal substitute, representing the transfer of his guilt, God purposed to teach them the need of a substitute for their sinfulness and sins. These required sacrifices pictured the substitutionary death of the coming Messiah for his people's sins. Paul declared the purpose of the law, stating, "The law was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise hath been made, so that the law is become our tutor to bring us unto Christ, the Messiah, or the Anointed One, that we might be justified by faith." The death of Messiah Yeshua provided for Israel and all mankind the righteousness by faith which the law could not supply. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Will you come to the Redeemer and Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, and by faith receive the true covering for sins and enter into genuine fellowship with God?
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.